Well, I'd like to start this morning by sharing a story. About 25 years ago, Mary Kate and I, it was our first church home. It was one of the mega churches in Fort Lauderdale. And at the time, they were fairly active in political, Christian political things, and they held an annual conference. And it was a large conference. They'd have a couple thousand people come in for the week. And the keynote was going to be on Saturday night. And I happened to be working with some of the guys parking and security. And the keynote speaker was going to be Vice President Dan Quayle. And it was getting a lot of attention. There was quite a few protesters around. And all the TV stations had their video trucks with the big antennas and all to cover what was happening at the church. And this is kind of a sidelight, but I think it's interesting. We had a car came in, and like I said, there were protesters around, and we were trying to keep control. And he pulled in a section, and my partner and I, we went over to tell him that, well, you can't park there. And it turned out he was getting out a couple of gay men, and he was getting out to pull a wheelchair out of the trunk of his car. And so we decided to try to hate the sin but love the sinner. And so we helped him get the wheelchair out of his car, out of the trunk of his car, which confused him mightily. We figured it was a bit of a witness. That's a sidelight. The important thing this morning, though, is that, as you might expect, when Dan Quayle showed up, it was just like on TV. There were two or three black SUVs and the Secret Service guys that evidently all buy their suits in the exact same shop because they all looked the same. Cleared out a hallway in the church, and everybody knew that somebody important had entered the room. And I was thinking yesterday how we might be different here this morning if Jesus were to walk in the back door. How would it change how we worship this morning? Right? And yet, would I be less concerned with whether there's going to be a bear claw left after service today? Or where I'm going to have lunch today, or who's sitting in my seat, or is the temperature too hot or too cold, or do I like the song that the worship team has picked out? And yet the truth is that the Lord is here today, all right? Jesus told time when I wish the Lord gave me three hands. I'm sorry?
You couldn't buy a shirt.
Touche, Chris, you win. I mean, the Lord told the disciples that when he left, he would leave them the Holy Spirit, right? And Ephesians tells us, right, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So if you claim Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit is here in you, right? And listen to the last phrase, to the praise of his glory. So would you stand and join me in prayer, please? Father, I ask that you would help me, help us to be completely aware of your presence here with us today, Lord. Let us treat you the way you deserve to be treated, Lord. Let this time bring glory and honor to you, Lord. Let us be focused on you, your presence with us, Lord, your grace in our lives. And we thank you for this service. Again, let it just glorify you. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.
Well, stay standing. Don't sit down if you can. If you need to, sit down. That's totally understandable. I'm Nathan, and I am feeling a little bit under the weather this morning, but fortunately this amazing team is going to push forward and going to lead out. But, the thing is that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our worship for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost, for God, for Christ. And that's what we're all here to do today. Isn't that right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So as we're singing today, feel free to raise your hands. Feel free to clap. Feel free to worship. Feel free to just worship God the way you'd worship God. So just that this is God's living room, and we're having worship together this morning. Amen.
Amen.
For my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Forevermore, Jesus.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy.
Words of this song, as with most songs, they are prayer, and we just really want to just meditate on these words and let them be a personal cry out today. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. See things like you do, God. I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. Do you know just what you do? And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love. To you. to know just what to do.
Fill me with your heart and lead me
show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Jesus, thank you so much for being in this place with us today. Thank you for meeting each and every one of us exactly where we are. Thank you for showing yourself to us, revealing yourself to us in new ways. Jesus, thank you for your spirit. Pray over this service that what you want to be said would be said, and that we would all grow and learn. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so good. You are so good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Good morning, everybody. Oh, thank you, guys. You're so helpful. There'll be a big bonus in your paycheck. Of course, I'm kidding because nobody has a paycheck. They're just all doing everything for free. Oh, thank you, lovely Lisa. Oh, thanks. All right. Well, we're very glad you're here. So welcome to Home Fellowship Church. Hey, I don't know if somebody left this nice little bag of cookies. Thank you for that. Somebody lost their cookies, yes. It's probably from my preaching. All right, well, we are very thankful that you're here. We're very grateful. We've got some announcements to go through. But before we do, somebody mentioned that we've got somebody has a birthday today, and Kayla is Tuesday. Kayla, and Kayla, you're turning 13? No? Oh, I'm so sorry. Am I embarrassing you? Is it 18? Is it what? No? I'm just saying, I just want to say happy birthday. I don't want to draw any attention to Kayla at all because she gets so embarrassed. So I don't want to do that. We just love her very much. Okay. Andy's birthday is... Oh, good. Oh, okay. Lord bless her too in Jesus' name. All right. So let's go over some of the announcements, and then we'll get right on to the word. Okay, so we have loaves and loaves and loaves of fresh Panera bread. I just got it last night, all freshly baked. Literally, I've got about 5 or 6 bags full, maybe even 7. So Caesar is helping out, trying to lower that number back there by eating the bagels in rapid succession. We're very thankful for that. But what we want you to do is take some home. It's just a gift in Jesus' name. Give it to your friends. Give it to your neighbors. Use it as an opportunity. Give it to the homeless, those who are needy, just to bless them in Jesus' name as an opportunity for the gospel. Okay, so we just want to encourage you to do that. Take it after the service. They usually have some bags on top of the fridge, and take as much as you want free in Jesus' name. And Jorge, I don't know why this clicker is not working. We're experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Okay. So also, okay, if you guys are new to the church and want to get on the text list, can somebody grab a pen for me? At least there's one back there. We've got a bunch of people. What we do is we do Bible study reminders. We send out little Bible study helps. We send out scripture verses and things like that. Now, for some reason, the enemy is always trying to divide. You know that, right? He's always trying to make you feel like you don't belong here. You're not part of the group. That's what he does. He's a divider. God is a uniter, okay? And so for some reason, some folks haven't been getting those scripture verses or worship songs or stuff like that. And they're like, well, I guess Pastor Darren doesn't care. That's not the case. So for whatever reason, we don't know. We've looked at the software. We've looked at the phone. We've looked at everything. Everything should just work. It's just, so if you're not getting it, you should be getting at least 3 or 4 texts every week. Okay. With a Bible verse, a worship song, a Bible study reminder every single week. If you're not getting that, would you please put your name and number on this list? And what Scott, I don't know if Scott is here today. I don't see him today. But what he's going to do is he's going to make sure that all the folks, for whatever reason, that are not getting it from my phone, that God won't be stopped, and he's going to send them out personally. Okay? So if you haven't done that, can I just, okay, you're one, okay, would you mind signing that? Okay. Put your name and number in there. I'm sorry? Did they really? Oh, that's so frustrating. There's no rhyme or reason for it. We've tried every way. We've deleted stuff. There's no reason. All the technicians say it works. And then for some reason, some folks, all of a sudden, it just doesn't for no reason whatsoever. So please, huh? Yeah. That's Absolutely bizarre. Yeah, if you're not getting them all the time, this is only if you're not getting them all the time or if you're new to the church and you want to receive these Bible study reminders. Lisa, can I ask you to come up here just for a second? Yeah, I know you love that. If you are, if you want to be on that list, would you raise your hand? Because we'd love to encourage you with the word and with worship and things like that. Okay, you guys know we don't take up tithes and offerings. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated and that they have to give. But we do receive tithes and offerings in the back in a little bird box. In fact, sorry, so I don't forget. Throw that back in there. Thank you. And you have a microphone in your hand.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, fantastic. Welcome to Home Fellowship Church.
We'll discuss this
He
one
takes
later.
Just the little loaves and fishes that we have, and he uses it. So anyway, also, we are so thankful. Were you guys blessed by Loving Hands last week? Man, if you weren't here last week, what a powerful service. God just was anointed. Just the whole thing from beginning to end was just anointed and amazing. And lots of tears and lots of brokenness and lots of encouragement. And I just want to let you know, this church, you guys, your tithes and offerings, what you're putting back in that bird box is going to supply that home for those folks that to break the addictions that you heard about yesterday. Such an anointed service, such a powerful service. And we support the missions here, Loving Hands, okay? Not only that, but we're also, you guys remember Billy from last week? Okay, he's going to be pastoring a new work, a new missions down in Miami. You remember that? Well, this church is also supporting the start of that mission for him and his wife and his family. So we, our money, our finances, what we have to give, is going out there to start that missions. And so we've given them lots of finances to support and encourage them. And it's amazing what Jesus Christ is doing. And I want to ask one other question. We've given a lot. And for those of you who are giving, you guys are so, thank you for just your faithful giving. Honestly, thank you for each week and each month putting money back there in the tithe box. We're so blessed by that. They also have a need. And so I wanted to find out if you guys are all in agreement. They need Bibles to start that missions. And they need, and of course, they can't be like the cheap $1 Bibles. They're more expensive Bibles. And so they need about 30 or 50 of those Bibles. But we would be providing the Word of God for all those people who are going to be freed in Jesus' name from Miami. So I just want to, as everybody in support of sending, of using the finances, the 30, 50 Bibles, and sending them the finances, so sending them the Bibles in Jesus' name. Is everybody good with that? All right, then we're going to also send them the Bibles too. Billy's like, no way, it's great. So very exciting, very cool. Also, CEF, we also support them in missions too, Child Evangelism Fellowship. And so they've got a little fundraiser on April 2nd at 6:30 at the Tabernacle. If anybody wants one of these, there's already a table bought. And so if you would like to go and have dinner, there's a little RSVP. You get a free dinner in there. It's a fundraiser. If anybody would like one of these, it's free in Jesus' name. Okay? All you have to do is respond. I've got a bunch of them, probably about like 6, 8, or 10. If anybody wants one, just raise your hand or I'm going to put it right here. And you can just grab one after service and take it and enjoy a dinner and learn more about Child Evangelism Fellowship in Jesus' name. What else do we got here? Man, for some reason, George, I'm sorry, but these, okay. We've got another picnic coming up, and that's April 14th, right, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what if you guys have never been here, what we do is we're very casual. We bring out a big smoker, and we smoke some meat, usually some pulled pork, some chicken, some all this kind of really fun stuff, hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff, and it's a great time, and what we do is we have our regular service at our regular time, but we do it outside. And so just bring yourself a lawn chair, and we'll just do a little bit of worship, and we'll have a time of testimonies. And people will be sharing what Jesus Christ has done in their life. And so we'll be doing that on Sunday, April 14th, so you can put that in your calendar. You will need to bring a dessert to share or a little snack. Also, a couple things, March 28th, Secret Keeper Girl for 8 to 12-year-olds with their moms. If you would like to go to that. If you don't have the finances to that and you're part of this church, then Gary's going to hate me when I say this, but we, if you've never been before and you want to bring your daughter to this and you don't have the money, we don't have a lot, but what we have, we'll give it to you in Jesus' name as a gift. So if you've never been to that Secret Keeper Girl, March 28th, yeah! We will even provide the funds for you to go. Okay, we just want to encourage us for moms and daughters from about girls from ages to 8 to 12, roughly. And now this isn't, we can't pay for, you know, you and your third niece, second, twice removed. We can't afford that. But if you're here with your daughter and you would love to go, but you just can't afford it, this body is so generous, even with what we have, we'll pay you for your tickets. Okay, we just want to bless you. We just want you guys to be encouraged, your families to grow in Jesus' name. If you'd like to meet Sunday mornings here for prayer, we'd love to have you. And that's at 9 a.m. And you can see Gary, the handsome man over there in the corner. Dashing. No, I'm sorry, Anthony. Not the other handsome man. More in the corner. What a hoot. Bible studies. During each month, we have a women's Bible study. The second Tuesday of each month, 6:30 to 8. I have absolutely no idea what next month is. Is it third? Okay, men's. That's what I'm saying. So it's the men's. Also, the Going Beyond simulcast with Priscilla Shear, Saturday. It's an all-day event. It's $20. It includes lunch, and you can talk to Erica. Erica, do you want to talk yet, or do you want to wait? Okay. It's a live simulcast, and we just want to invite you out. Okay.
So Priscilla Shear, if the ladies remember, we did the Armor of God Bible study a couple years ago. That's Priscilla Shear. So she's got a live simulcast, and we are really just kind of needing to get a head count so that we know what to expect in regards for lunch. And so there is a sign-up sheet back here. If you are available that day and you'd like to come, could you just sign up? It doesn't commit you for life or anything like that, but it at least lets me know who is interested in how many ladies that we'll have.
Yes.
And that would really help us a lot in logistics.
Yes, because also we need to decide whether we're going to have it here. Sometimes, you know, we get tons of people that show up, and sometimes we get, like, just three or four people that show up. So if we're going to have, like, three or four, we probably do it at home and do it at your house. And if not, then we'd love to do it here. So anyway, but we just encourage you. Anytime there's a Bible study, Priscilla Shear, she's Tony Evans' daughter, if I remember correctly, if you know him. And she's great. She was in War Room, the movie, if you remember that. And so we want to encourage you Saturday, April 6th. And guys, that means you got to babysit. You'll be okay. Okay, men's Bible study this Tuesday, first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. We offer free food. Gary, anything you want to say about that?
We're going to have hamburgers.
Thanks.
We're going to have
Are you sure? I'm guessing we're going to have hamburger. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to have hamburgers, and I have a surprise plan. But most importantly, we're going to talk about the gifting that the Lord has given each and every man for this world that we live in.
Good. Awesome. Thanks, buddy. All right, so dinner's at 6 and Bible study's at 6:30. You know, come out to these things. Get to know the girls. Get to know the it's so easy, right? Isn't it, to get in our own worlds and not, like, venture out, right? It's safe. It's cozy. Nobody bothers us. Can I tell you what? Don't do that. He's made you to be in a body, right? So that means you have to put forth a little bit of effort. Step out, put your toe in the water. There'll be some weirdos like me there, but there's also nice folks like Gary. Okay, so here we go. What else? If anybody's interested, we do this every year. We have a wing night. We're doing it this Tuesday. Neely, where are you? I saw you during worship. Is she still here? Oh, she's teaching in the kids' church? Well, what? What? I'm just saying. Sorry, guys. It's spring break. So that's what it is. So if you guys want to go, men, you're not allowed to go to have wings, apparently. But anyway, we're doing that 6 o'clock. It's at Quaker Steak and Lube up next week. Sorry, Gary. It's just, yeah, we had to do it during spring break. Too many teens pressure. Oh, that was from a couple years ago because we had many more people there. I remember last year, but... All right. Also, youth group, we've got the whosoever's here, 6:30, 8:30, whoop, whoop. And t-shirts should be ready in the next couple weeks. So call Josh and Amanda for more detail. Thank you. If anybody needs help with their house or their, this isn't just a way to get just free labor for yourself, But if you're struggling, and like I know all the youth helped clean up yards of somebody, some folks in our church, and spent like 2 hours there, hopefully being a blessing, and cleaning up. They all had such a great time where they worked so hard cleaning up tons of debris and stuff like that. And so if you need help, Josh and Amanda Panna, can you stand up just so everybody can see you guys? Oh, you're right. This is Josh and Amanda Panna. Woo woo! They are wonderfully wonderful folks, and they work with the youth. So see them if you need help, and then maybe one of these Wednesdays we can come over and help you as well. Of course, if it's anything like Finnish carpentry, not our style. If you need junk moved, yes. I'm sorry? Chris's style. Also, I wanted to thank you guys. The Experience in God course is going so amazing. I'm just getting so many texts just saying that God is just using this, even this last week, just to change their lives. Listen, if this comes up again, or if we do this again, and you're missed out on this Bible study, we're almost at the end. We may even do it again if enough people want to take it. But God is using this to change lives. Yeah, Vicki, you're raising your hand? All right. Cool. Okay. Well, I don't know if there's anybody else, but I would like you to, you, okay, Jerry, you'd like to, you, Laura, you would like to take it too? Stanley, you'd like to take it too? Holy schmolies. Okay. Apparently, we may be having another Bible study, but it has been so powerful. Life changer is what the person texted me this week. And so, last couple weeks, that's Thursday nights, we'd encourage you to come out. If you've been walking with the Lord for 40 years or you've been walking with the Lord for 4 days, this is a great course for you. Okay, so we are in the book of James, my friends. Hey, somebody wanted to say something before I got started. Marcus, do you mind coming up? Now, it was about, we are in James chapter 1, so if you need a Bible, hey, JoJo, can you grab some Bibles if there's any over here? If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and JoJo will get one to you. And if you don't have a Bible, let us know and we'll buy a Bible for you. We just want you to grow in the Word of God. Okay, raise your hand if you need one. And Mark, I think you wanted to share something about, not last week's teaching, but the week before, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take it away. I don't, it's all you. And I'll talk afterwards.
When I found out that we were going to be doing the book of James, it's one of the most exciting books for me. But when I went through it once before, there's a verse 6 which says that when you ask in faith, not being half-hearted, because he who is half-hearted is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Now, one week I was out at Coquino Beach, and it was a windy, stormy day. Now, I don't know if you knew anything about Coquino Beach. George, could you put that up there for me? That one. It's on a stormy day. Right there at that inlet, there's a southern current and a northern current that come together and they crash. That's happening right now. You can't see it because there's no wind. But it's a very, very dangerous place. As a matter of fact, this week there was a couple and their kids that were coming to have summer vacation, or not summer vacation, but spring break at our RV park. And they happened to go to Coquino Beach, and they're from Missouri, and they weren't paying any attention whatsoever. They just went to the south side of Coquino Beach, and they started walking in the water. Now, George, let's go to the next sign. Then the other one. That one. They didn't see the sign because they're from Missouri. They're not paying attention. They're just not looking. They're saying, oh, this is beautiful water. So they just walk right in. And all of a sudden, people came around them and said, what are you doing? Didn't you see the sign? It says, do not enter water, dangerous current. I don't know what it says in Spanish, probably the same thing. Okay? So, you know, so immediately they came out. But if you don't see that sign, there's another warning sign. And this one is really very specific. It says rip currents. Now, I don't know if anybody knows what a rip current is, but it will drag you out to sea. If you fight against that rip current, you will lose probably your life because it is so powerful that you cannot get away from it. So there's all kinds of warning signs. And what I wanted to have was that picture of the wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. But it was just beautiful and calm and everything like that. And that wasn't the message that the Lord wanted to give about that particular verse. What he wanted to give was the message from the next verse. We turn the lights on, Chris? It says, but when you ask him, verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is an unsettled as the wave of the sea that is blown by the wind and tossed. He's saying, don't ask with a divided heart. Be strong in faith. And when the Lord told me that, I said, okay, Lord, I know what that means, but is there a message that we could give to the younger believers? To the ones that haven't been walking with you for 30 or 40 years like I have. And he said, Mark, I want you to go to your go-to verse. And I knew what that was. It's not in John. It's in Romans. Well, I know. That was a good guess, though. It's in Romans chapter 4. So let's turn there because this shows us the kind of faith that each one of us can have. Let's see. Starting in... Let's roll. Verse 14. Romans 4, starting in verse 14. This is Debbie's Bible. This isn't mine, or I'd have it underlined already. Let's see. Okay, in verse 14 it says, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is, as the scriptures means, when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in God, who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there is no reason for hope Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. There was 25 years between the time that God made that original promise to him. He was 75 years old. He came out and he made him look at the stars and he said, "You see that? Can you count those stars?" He said, "That's how many your descendants will be. And you will be the father of many nations." Even when there was no reason, he was 100 when this was written. Even then, there was no reason for hope. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many your descendants will be." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. She was 90. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. This is a key. As he brought glory to God, and he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Abraham never wavered in faith. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That's strong faith. And what that tells me is if something's going on that God has promised he would see us through, he will do that. He will make his word come true. Maybe not the way we think it should or how we have it already figured out, but he will make it happen. So I'd like to leave you guys with this thought. Never, ever give up hope. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 11:6 says this, "For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Let's keep hoping. Let's keep believing. And let's keep walking.
Thank you, Mark. Soap. Thank you, sweet. All right. Thank you, brother. All right. So we are in the book of James. And because of that, you don't have to listen to my recap for the first 12 verses. So you can thank Mark for that. You guys can be blessed and you miss out on it. We are in James. We're starting, we are in chapter 1, verse 13. Let me zippity-doo-dah. Maybe we better start in 12 real quick. Just to, it was the last verse where we left off. That said, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." You know, these trials that we're talking about in James, these testing times and stuff, they're not easy. And Oswald Chambers said, "No healthy Christian ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not." So next time you're going through that trial, next time you're going through that hard time, next time you're going through that text, next time your faith is being stretched, remember to choose joy. Just like he says in earlier verses of James, count it all joy. So just pray, you know, God, help me focus on the truth of this situation instead of the trial. Help me to give thanks, Lord, to you, knowing that you're going to work all things to the good instead of giving into the fear. Help me to choose joy instead of anger or bitterness. Help me to trust in your power instead of my plan. Help me to elevate your name through all this situation instead of my own name as you're going through these situations. Now, when we start off in verse 13, just for one second, I'm going to read James chapter 1, verse 13. Okay? It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And then verse 14 goes on to say, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Well, the first thing I noticed in this verse is, if you have a Bible, my translation says, when tempted. Does most everybody have that? Okay. It doesn't say, if I'm tempted, right? Your Bible doesn't say that, right? So that means, that tells me something. That tells me that all of us are going to get tempted, right? Everybody. Listen, whenever you're going through, this is what the enemy, remember how I told you earlier, the enemy wants to separate you? That's always what he wants to do. See, when you're going through a struggle, let's say you're feeling selfishness or you've got a problem with your mouth, okay? Let's just say that you got a bitterness issue. Let's just say you've got a lust issue. Let's say you got a pride issue. Whatever it is, folks, whatever it is, or you feel so ashamed and you... If anybody knew that I lost my temper with my kids so much, they wouldn't. Oh, if anybody realized I was such a crazy wife. If anybody realized that the pride that I have in my work. If anybody realized the lust that I struggle with. Listen, can I tell you something? The enemy wants to make you feel like you're alone, and he wants you to move you away from the Lord and from other believers. Do not listen to that lie. All those temptations, I can't tell you the amount of people that I've run into, and they'll come, and it's wonderful to talk, and it's wonderful, and they'll be in tears. Pastor, I've been away from church for years because of this sin. And you know what? I've heard that about 100,000 times. We all go through the same things. You are not alone. You're not the only one that struggles with addiction. We watched folks yesterday just praising the Lord, saying that they've been free in Jesus' name, that God has freed them. Listen, you're not the only one that struggles with temptation. Don't let him alienate you like that. Don't let him have you leave the body, leave the Bible study, leave this, whatever it is. Don't let him do that to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. That means we all go through the same stuff. You're a pastor. Do you mean that sometimes you can struggle with pride? Yes! Do you mean sometimes there can be lust? Yes! Do you mean sometimes you can even be greedy? Yes! And I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I turn away from it and turn to the Lord. And the reason why I know that sometimes you struggle with it in your lifetime is because we're all the same. Now, there might be an issue from baggage or some things in your past that has a greater hold on you, right, in some areas than others, right? But we all go through it. And it says that God is faithful. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, it says he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, or the New Living Translation says more than you can stand. And if it is, then he'll give you the grace and the power to endure it and to be victorious over it. It says, but when you're tempted, not if, when you're tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure under it. Pastor, I just couldn't say no to this. I could. Yes, you could have. Absolutely, you could have. If you are in Christ, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. And one of the fruits of a godly life is self-control. Self-control, let me show you, is saying no to whatever it is that you're struggling with. Now, I'm making it, I don't want to make light of it, because I'm sure sometimes it's very, very difficult. But he will give you that power. And so He'll provide a way out. Do you remember Joseph? Now, it wasn't very flattering. Do you remember Potiphar's wife? Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Right, Potiphar's wife? You remember that story? Okay, sold into slavery. Potiphar's wife trying to seduce him. Come sleep with me, Joseph. I don't know if that's what she sounded like. Probably a lot nicer. Come sleep. Anyway, I can't do it. The bottom line is, come sleep with me, Joseph. And Joseph's like, no, that's okay. He's probably rejected me. Finally, she just grabs him, sleep with me. And if you remember what happened, what did Joseph do? He what?
Ran.
Now, that's not cool, right? Let's just be honest. That's not the coolest move. But it was the best move in that situation. It says he struggled. She was holding on to his clothes as he ran out the door. Get out. So it's when we go into temptations, not if. And listen, sometimes this word can be interchanged in the Bible when it talks about temptings and trials. Sometimes that word can be interchanged. And I love what Spurgeon said. And it says sometimes it can be the same thing. Satan tempts us and God tries us, okay? When God is trying you, it's for your good. It's for your maturing, okay? When Satan is tempting you, it's to tear you down. But the same trial may be both a temptation and a trial, whatever you're going through. Satan may be trying to use it to cause you to stumble, so you go flat on your face and you stay down. And the Lord is trying to use it so that you'll grow and mature and have victory over it. Okay? And it may be a trial from God's side and temptation from Satan's side, just as Job suffered. I have a love-hate relationship with this clicker. Right now we're at the hate stage. Okay. It says this. It says, when tempted, no one should say that God's tempting me. Because God can't be tempted by, God doesn't tempt anyone, nor is he tempted. And here's the deal. You know, people get mad at God a lot. They blame him for a lot of things. Do you know that? When I've noticed when things aren't going right in their world, people tend to blame other people. Do you know what I mean? If you're at the school and the school's holding you accountable and you're not doing your work, oh, that school, they don't love me. They don't care about me there. It's a terrible school. And I like the school that I was at before. And wait a minute, didn't they also pick on you and mock you and make fun of you? Oh, I forgot about all that, but these teachers, they're making me do the work now. Or church. Well, the pastor told me that I was doing the wrong thing and he showed me in the Word of God. Who does he think he is? And he's all, oh my goodness. Stop. Oh, my husband is this. My wife is this. You know what? Stop pointing the finger at somebody else. How about you look at your own sin issue? Amen? That's right. Start focusing on your own issues. It is so much easier. You can easily point at her. You can point at him. Or you can both point at me. Or you can say, Lord, be like David. Search my heart and know me. See if there's any wicked way within me. Start there. Listen, people get so mad. They blame God for everything. Now, when I use illustrations, this happens a lot. I'm using general illustrations. If the Holy Spirit, if it's your situation, I'm not using your situation. So I'm not trying to embarrass you because the enemy will use that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, Pastor, I'm losing my car and I just can't believe God would do this. And, you know, he obviously doesn't care about me and what kind of car is it? You bought an old used car? Because I know I got a new, 2018 Camaro. But he's taking my car and I'm losing my house. I'm losing my job and God doesn't, obviously if God was there, so you really worked hard all the time and you had a great attitude? Well, no, I didn't have a great attitude because it wasn't a good job. They weren't paying me enough money. And I told them all the time. It's a terrible place to work. And all of a sudden, they just fired me. So obviously, God doesn't want me to be there. No, you're being a knucklehead. It's your own fault. Do you see what I'm saying? Most of the time, we get ourselves into trouble. And we're blaming God. Don't say God's tempting you. Don't say God's doing this to you. It's you. Proverbs 19:3 says this. I love this. People's own foolishness ruins their lives. But in their minds, they blame the Lord. You know why? So you don't have to take responsibility. I guess what I'm saying to you is take responsibility for your actions. Look at yourself first. Be honest with yourself. If you're going to have a real heart change, it starts with you being honest with yourself. Well, I don't know why this relationship isn't working. I knew she wasn't saved, but I started dating her, and she was coming to church. Now, all of a sudden, God just broke us up. Well, don't be unequal. You see what I'm saying? Listen, guys, stop blaming God for this stuff. Look at your own stuff. Back in Genesis, do you remember that? Do you remember, listen, Adam and Eve, right? You remember in the garden, right? Do you remember the first thing when they got caught? When they took the fruit? What is the first thing Adam did? Adam said, I take full responsibility, Lord. I sinned and I repent. And I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Is that what he said? Eve was deceived. Adam did it like a total knucklehead and chose to do it. That's worse. Now, he could have said that, but he didn't. You know what he said? It was that woman. See, everything was good, God. It was good. Me and you in the garden, walking, happy times. All of a sudden, you made this woman. Whatever, the big W. And then now it was all messed up because you gave her to me. What did the woman say? And the woman, Lord, I'm so sorry. I gave into temptation. I repent. You know, will you please forgive me, Lord? I want to. What did she say? Do you remember? Oh, it's you, that serpent you made. You put him here. Everything was fine. Me and Adam, we're all lovey-dovey. And then all of a sudden, the serpent came in. Do you see what I'm saying? Stop blaming others. Look at your own sin. You will grow so much as a Christian if you just start doing that one thing. That one thing. But most people don't want to do it. They'd rather put their fingers in their ears and just because it's easier to blame someone else for their issues. Don't be foolish. I saw two hands go up. Elijah, I saw your hands go up. And George, you want to go first?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you the mic. So I love your outfit. I was in the 80s, so that's coming back. Love it.
If you stop and think about it, whenever you point your finger at one person,
yes,
you've got three fingers pointing back
Absolutely.
At yourself.
Miriam said that, yep. Elijah, did you have something as well? Okay, so I'm not going to get through the chapter. I'll let that go.
What I just thought was that, you know, the reason we don't want to point the fingers at ourselves, you know, is because personally, we don't want to admit that we're wrong. Let's just all admit it. We don't like to admit it. We don't like to admit when we screwed up.
Yep.
It's that part of the self that God wants us to, you know, just lay down and just say, Lord, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I was too prideful. Please forgive me.
Yes. But when that humility comes, there comes the growth. Right? Isn't that true? Yes, somebody else. Go ahead, Debbie.
Just real quick, one thought that came to my mind was that I can remember when we were young and first married and the kids started coming, that it was one of those things where you've got to learn to be able to tell anybody you made a mistake.
Absolutely.
And you're wrong.
Yes.
It's the hardest thing for a parent to do, to say, you know, I was wrong.
But it's the best thing you
it's
can do.
It's the best.
Amen. Good word, good word. And listen, so stop blaming God. Stop, and you know what? Well, God's just against me. You know, you may not say it, but that's what you're thinking in your head. You're thinking, oh, God's for this guy. He's for the pastor. He's for Stanley. He's for Mark. He's for her. He's obviously, I'm the cursed one, right? We all can think that, can't we? Right? But let me tell you, that is not true. Another lie. Okay. God says he's for you, not against you. That's not my words. I'm not giving you a rah-rah encouragement. Romans 8:31 says that you are more than a conqueror. says, what shall we say in response to all these things when it's talking about we are saved, we are sanctified, we are glorified, we are justified? And then he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Listen, God is for you. His character is for you. His heart is for you. Whenever there's a test, whenever there's a trial, whatever's going in your life, God's going to work it to good. Even if the enemy is meaning it for evil, he's going to work it out in your life for your growth, for your maturization. He wants you to grow. He wants your family to grow. He wants you to be strong and courageous because that's who your God is. He is for you, not against you. So next time that lie comes in your head, you stop and you say, that's not true. Sometimes I'll say it out loud. No. No. He's for me, not against me. You remember that. Now let me ask you a question. Is temptation a sin? Only when you act on it, only when you fall into it. Yes. Very wise congregation. Can I tell you something? I actually fought many years ago now, probably 15 years ago, with my Greek professor. And we had an argument over this. And he was telling me that temptation is sin. And I was a young buck in the Lord. And I was arguing with him the whole way. And he was trying to embarrass me in front of the class because he was embarrassed because I was bringing up some biblical points. And so he was embarrassed. And then, of course, he got the whole class. It was not very cool. So anyway, but let's go back to the word. So you don't take what I have to say. We take what God has to say. Is temptation a sin? And you guys answered no. And I would say, I agree with you. And I agree with you because of God's word. You remember Jesus was tempted, right? It says he was tempted, but without sin. Isn't that true? So if you remember, it says in Mark chapter 1, 12 and 13 that the Spirit immediately drove him out in the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals and the angels were ministering him. So yes, we can be tempted, and that is not sin. It's giving into it. It's acting on it that actually causes the sin. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, for speaking of Jesus here, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in how many ways? Every way, just as we were. He was fully God, but he was fully human. He was tempted in the same ways just as we are. He understands your struggles. It's not like he said, well, sometimes people go, well, that was Jesus, so of course he can do it. He was fully God, but fully man. Listen, he understands. He was without sin. Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. Okay. It goes on to say in James, sorry, Chris, can you hit the light just for a second for me? When tempted, no one should say that God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. Hey, by the way, if you ever think about this, there's something you can do that God can't do. It says God cannot tempt anyone. You know what? I hate to say it, but I didn't get saved till I was almost 30. I tempted a lot of people. Very sad. Manipulation, right? Lying, right? It's terrible. Do you know you could actually lie? That's something that God can't do either. In Titus 1:2, it says God cannot lie. That's something you can do that I don't know if I'd brag about that one. But there are things that you can do that God cannot. You can also sin, and he cannot. Okay, here's what it says. It goes on to say, but each one, says, tempted by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Each one, when tempted by his own evil desire, is dragged away and enticed. Guys, those are, you see the word dragged away and enticed? Those are actually hunting and fishing terms. The dragged away one, that's exelko, and that means, that's a hunting term, and that means to be drawn away. So what he's saying is here, don't say God is doing these things. It's against his character to do something to hurt. He might hurt you, but he'll never harm you. To do something that's evil against you to get you, that's not his heart towards you. That's not his character. So it says, each one of you, when tempted by your own evil desires, you're dragged away. Satan's tempting you. Your own fleshly nature is tempting you. That dragged away, that ex elko in Greek, means to be drawn away. It's a hunting term. I saw this on Amazon Prime, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. It's kind of disgusting. Oh, Amazon. Yeah, what did I say? Okay. This is Northland Deer Attracting and Hunting Spray. Can I tell you what that is for the you non-hunters? That's deer urine. What? I'm not kidding you. Hunters will spray this on something or on themselves. This is, you can buy this at Amazon Prime. 100% pure deer urine. I know it's kind of gross. No additives and preservatives. Listen, if you're spraying yourself with deer urine, do you really care about additives and preservatives anyway? My point is that this is what a hunter uses. It's an attractant. It's made to lure you to the scent. How do they get it in the bottle? You know what? I didn't really look that up, nor do I wish to. The point is, the hunter puts bait on the trap to lure you. Your own flesh is in war against the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. And it's saying, I want you to do something. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Come this way. Putting the bait in the trap, putting the... And that's what it is. It's urine. It's garbage, really. That's what your flesh is. It's dung. But that's what the word is. It says that... That's what the word means in Greek. Hey, I'm sorry. It's what it means. It's a hunting term. It's the only time it's used in the Bible is right here. And it says something dragged away, or I don't know if your Bible says something else, but dragged away and enticed. Yes, Sue, back in the back. Yes. Yes.
Use the stinky stuff to attract the cat to go into the trap.
Right. Ah, interesting.
And if you use, like, sardines, you can walk around for days and smell like fish on your hands.
You know what? So, that's a perfect illustration, though, of our flesh. And when you let sin, that's what it's trying to do to you. When you think that sin is only affecting you, can I tell you something? That's not true. When you sin, just like that little kitty, you stink. Nobody really knows. Let me tell you, that sin never affects just you. It ripples out to other people. And that fleshly nature, and that other word there in James, dragged away and enticed, that's a fishing term, actually. That fishing term is delezo, and that really means to be deceived. It means to be deceived. Literally, it means to bait a hook in Greek. It's a fishing term. So he's talking about our flesh and he's saying, hey, don't blame God. It's the fishing lure. It's your flesh. That's why God says, I want you to crucify your flesh. All the things you used to do and you used to run after to fill that void in your heart, that's going to kill you. Now, this is a fishing lure for those of you who don't know. That's what this is, a lure. He said, you're dragged away, you're enticed. That's what the Greek word is. It looks like shrimp to the fish, right? Saltwater shrimp, but it's got a big hook in it. That's what sin is in your life. That's what your flesh is doing, that sin. It wants, oh, it looks good. It looks tasty, right? Chomp, and you're hooked, right? This is another picture of some lures, and lures come in different shapes and sizes, right? As you're being dragged away by your sin and enticed, right? It's almost like he's baiting the hook just for you, Laura. And that might be different than you. Now, why there's a bat in there, I really don't know, with a hook on it. But I'm just saying, there's different lures to catch different fish. You are different from her, and so on and so forth. But you're being dragged away and enticed. So you have to learn to reject that and to recognize it for what it is. Now, sometimes when you're fishing, you can use live bait, okay? And back in Michigan... here you use shrimp for salt water, but back in Michigan, when I fished with my grandpa, we used worms, okay, in the freshwater. And you use live worms, so now it smells like it. Now you see it wiggling and squirming, right? The fish comes along. I know, you see Sophia's face, it's like, anyway, but they come and they take a little nibble of the shrimp or of the worm, and they're like, hey, this is pretty good, huh? Isn't that what your flesh does? Or what sin does, don't you think? The enemy maybe does that to you. It's baiting the hook. Come on. Just take a little nibble. And you take a little nibble. Hey! No harm there. No foul, right? chomp, and then, of course, you're hooked on the bait. The bait, right? Focusing on the bait keeps us from seeing the real consequences of sin. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you remember David and Bathsheba? You remember that story? Bathsheba out there, why she was taking a bath naked on a rooftop. You're going to have to ask her that when you get to heaven. But then David's out there. Okay. You know, he's looking. Okay. Oh, let me just look at that. No, I should turn away. I know. Now he's taking the bait. And then you know what happens later. Now the consequences for David down the road, do you know what? Terrible. David actually, sin gets worse. He takes Bathsheba, he commits adultery, murder. He loses his son over it, his consequences. His other son takes over the kingdom. Terrible consequences to sin, right? But he's not thinking about that. He's thinking of the bath time babe. That's what sin does. Focus on the bait. Don't look at that hook. Oh, wait, what's that sharp thing? Yeah, don't worry about that, right? Don't worry. Don't think about that. Don't let Satan do that. Don't let your flesh do that. Beth Moore says, no sin, no matter how momentary, pleasurable, comforting, or habitual, is worth missing what God has for us. Listen, Hebrews 11 says sin is pleasurable for a season. You heard the guy say it here last week. It is. You nibble on the little end of that shrimp or that, hey! But you take the hook, and it's going to bring some bad stuff. Now, when it comes to temptation, holy shmolies, you've got to be kidding me. Sorry, I'm looking at the time. Sins are like credit cards. Enjoy now, but you'll pay later. You're always going to pay for it, right? But I don't have to think about it. I just ring it up. And then you're being crushed by the credit card debt, right? My son told me something yesterday. They're taking at our school, Shepherd's Our Christian School, they're taking a Crown Financial class. And so now he's like asking all these finance questions. He said, yeah, Dad, I heard something on the radio as I was working out, and I was listening to this thing, and it said, hey, it was a car commercial. It said, hey, do you have bad credit? Do you have no credit? Do you have lots of debt? No problem. We'll give you $1,000 for a new car. Of your down payment. And Hezekiah's like, Dad, they're making it sound like, how phenomenal is that? So basically what they're saying is, have you already messed up with poor life choices? Are you drowning in debt now to where you can almost not breathe? Well, we'll help you do it more. But they don't phrase it like that, do they? Nah. Listen, there's usually four stages of sin, guys. First is the desire, okay? That's the stuff that goes around in your head. Do you know what I'm saying, Glenna? When you start thinking about stuff, ooh, I remember Martha did me wrong. I don't like that. I remember that, and if I see Martha again, ooh, I'm just gonna slug her one. And oh, that person did this. I'm bitter. I'm angry. Or oh, that guy at work, he's so cute. Oh, that girl. And you start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Right. So when the opportunity presents it, well, you've already thought about it a lot. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to stop the thoughts right there where it's in your head. Stop thinking about it. If you ever hear me say, sometimes the enemy is doing that, sometimes the flesh, sometimes you ever hear me say just out loud sometimes, no. Usually I'm saying it in my head and I'm praying, but if the enemy's hitting with something or my flesh is hitting with something, sometimes I'll just say it out loud, no. That's what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm not going to think about that. So I'm going to put my mind off of that. I'm going to think about what the Bible says, what is good and true and praiseworthy and lovely. I'm going to think upon those things. So don't let that desire, you can't help the thoughts that go in there, but you can stop them at the door. Does that make sense? Don't start playing around with them in your head. It's our fleshly sin nature that thinks about and lusts after the things of this world. Oh, let me go back one. The Bible says this in Romans 13:14, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't think about ways to indulge the evil desires. Listen, that's where it all starts in your mind, in your heart. Do you know what I'm saying? You start coveting after that thing. You start wanting that whatever. and mulling it over. Yeah, if I had this, my whole life would be different. If I had this relationship, or if my husband was this way, if this work, stop it. Stop it. Thank you, Lord. I've got your, you've got me here. How can I be a blessing to my wife? How can I be a blessing to my husband? What can I do for my, whatever the case may be. Thinking on temptations, Martin Luther said this. Temptations, of course, can't be avoided, but because we cannot prevent the birds from flying over our heads, there is no need that we should let them nest in our hair. Does that make sense, guys? Don't let them take root. Don't let them live there. Kick them out the door. You have been born again. The second stage to temptation is deception. And that's when we see the bait and believe the lie. Do you remember David after he saw Bathsheba? Do you remember what he did, guys? After, instead of just turning away, going back in, going, oof. He's like, you know what? Could you just find out a little bit about her? Just for kingly purposes, you know? Would you just, he sent somebody to find out a little bit more about her. Oh, that, there's no harm in that. Oh, she's married. Oh, okay. Why don't you just invite her over for coffee? Well, they didn't actually have coffee. You know what I'm saying? But let's just invite her over. Nothing's going to happen. We're just going to talk. You know, a little kingly conversation, right? Nothing wrong with that, right? What's he doing? He's deceiving himself, right? Same thing with Satan in the garden, right? Did God really say that, you know, you couldn't eat that fruit? Did he really? Oh, I guess not. I guess I could do it. You see what I'm saying? It's taking the bait, seeing the bait and believing the lie. Don't do it. Stop it at the desire. When it comes to deception, the enemy can deceive us and we can deceive ourselves. Most of the time, it's us. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, don't deceive yourselves. That tells me, as a Christian, I can do that. I can tell myself what I want to hear. Do you know what? Who do you get counsel from? Do you go to the person who tells you what you want to hear, or do you go to the godly person who tells you what you need to hear? Don't deceive yourself. Elijah, thank you. Sophie, you can go back and get that. Hold on, we're going to grab a microphone for you just so the rest of the church can hear you.
You know, I was just thinking of something. You know, like how you know how you brought up, like, you didn't know why Bathsheba was taking a bath, you know, basically yeah. Naked out there. I was just thinking that maybe Satan knew that that was the way he could bait David. I mean, he already Absolutely. Had three wives.
Yes.
And although he was doing God's word, I think he knew that that was the way he could get in there.
Yeah, could very well be. But I've seen many Christians just deceive themselves. Well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but it's just that, bam. Pastor, I know I should be doing this, but, you know, I don't see it's a big deal. Deceiving yourself. Rationalization. Oh, that's a nice fancy term. You know what? I just call it...
That's what I do.
That, rationalization. That's what we do. We all do it. I just call it... I'm just kind of believing the lie. Quit doing it. Listen, and the enemy's there to tempt you too, right? Deception, then deceiving. Okay, there we go. Of course, I clicked it one too many times. Oh, I'm going to throw this in. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, just as, but I'm afraid, this is, Paul said it this way, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from the pure, sincere devotion of Christ. Listen, the enemy's out to deceive you, and so is your flesh. So you have to know what God's word says. You have to know God's ways so clearly in your mind that you can recognize the bait and say, know what? I'm rejecting it in Jesus' name. When it's being presented to you, you have to reject it. You have to know what it is. The third thing, desire, deception, and then disobedience. That's when we just choose to disobey God. That's pretty simple. I know what the right thing is. I'm believing the lie. I'm just going to go with it. You know it's wrong. 9 out of 10 times, you know it's wrong. And you just choose to disobey anyway. And that sin, again, never just affects one person. Even going back to the Genesis illustration, it says in Romans 5:19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. We all suffer from it now. So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Listen, you want to know how to destroy a kid if you're a dad or mom? Just be a hypocrite. Just lie. Well, it's not a big deal, right? Just little lies, right? No big deal. You see what I'm saying? It affects other people. Your relationships, your all these sins, it affects others. Well, I just struggle with, you know, pornography. It doesn't bother anybody. Well, do you notice you're becoming more angry lately, more bitter? Do you notice that? Notice you got more of an attitude towards others? Bad. It affects every way. And your obedience, it also says, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. If you choose not to sin, if you choose to follow the Lord, people are going to see that and they'll be like, I want to be like her. I want to be like him. I want to love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. God's doing something in their lives. I want that too. Does that make sense? It'll spill over. And then the last thing, oh, I cannot believe we only got through a verse. Oh, I'm so ticked off. Okay, sorry, that's my inner thoughts going on. It brings death. Right? Temptation, if you go from desire to deception to disobedience to death, the result is death. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. Everybody receives a paycheck, right? Your whole $2 an hour or whatever it is, right? That's your payment for your work. The wages of sin, of giving into sin, brings death every time. It'll kill your relationships. It'll kill your finances. It'll kill your joy. It'll kill your walk with the Lord. Stop saying it's no big deal. I'll just say to me, so I'm looking at the mirror. Stop saying it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Well, everybody talks this way. No, they don't. It's not godly, and you know it. Well, everybody, no, it's not. Don't say that. You're making excuses for yourself. How many of you guys own a pet? Hopefully not a pet snake, but how many of you guys own a pet? Oh my goodness, I'm going to throw this thing out the window. Okay, raise your hand high if you have a pet. Okay, how many of you love that pet? How could more people raise their hand that you love the pet and then you had a pet? Okay. Okay, so we have dogs. We are not cat people, no offense. So we have dogs, okay, and my wife loves the dogs and my children. So we have lots of doggies, and when we have a dog, when you have a little pet, okay, what you do is you feed that pet, right? Little puppies, right? You feed it. Obviously, you water it, but you give it water, you feed it, you take care of it, you play with the pet, right? Don't you? Everybody does that, right? You watch it grow, very exciting, very cool, right? But sometimes we treat our sins that same way. Oh, it's just a small little sin, right? It's not like I'm murdering anybody. It's just a little sin. I just got a mouth. It's just this. It's just that. That's an excuse. That's what you're doing. It's just going to grow. The more you toy with it, the more you play with it, the more you feed it, it's just going to grow. And I'm going to read you this when it talks about, you know, in... Now, I have to finish with this verse because I know we've already gone over. So. When it says, after sin is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. You know, there was a story, a true story from Commerce City in Colorado about a young man, 15, his name was DJ. I read it, a couple of news articles about it, when it says that sin, when it's full grown, brings death. When you feed that little pet sin of yours, whatever it is, when you just give into it, when you feed it, when you play with it, when you whatever, it's going to grow and it's going to take over and kill you. It's going to bring death in your life. Listen, the article said that for 8 years... Sally had been the Romero family pet. And she was only 12 inches when they brought her home. And she was beautiful. But Sally grew and grew until eventually she reached the length of 11 feet, 16 inches, and weighed almost 100 pounds. Then one day, the little family pet, Sally, a Burmese python, turned on 15-year-old DJ, Derek James, strangling the unsuspecting teenager until he died of suffocation. It seemed like it was a very docile snake, said David Swanson, a 30-year-old cousin of the boy. I've held it before, and there was never any problem. I can't even imagine this happening. Police said when they arrived, though, that the snake was quite aggressive, hissing and reacting violently. When they arrived to investigate the young man's death, it said it was coiled up right alongside him. Sin is like that snake. When sin first enters our lives, we think of it as harmless. We think of it docile. We almost think of it kind of cute. Not a big deal, right? Not like some of the sins the other people are dealing with. But sin has a way of growing as we feed it, as we play with it. We think we can handle it. But somehow, somewhere down the line, it begins to handle us. It will happen unless you stop it. It always leads to death every time. Sometimes physical death, sometimes emotional. Other times it leads to death of relationship or even sometimes spiritual death. That's separation from the Lord. As a Christian, I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation. But you know what? You will feel that emptiness. Your spiritual walk will be like it's dead. No joy. It's a terrible place to be. And if sin's not confessed and forsaken, it brings spiritual death. That's why James warns us that when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. His purpose in it is not to spoil your fun, but to preserve your highest joy. If you're playing with a pet sin in your life, God urges you to beware because it's a life and death matter. And I'll just close with this, even though I've got about 20 more slides. I'll have to save it for next week. Oh, I'll give you two. Here's a little poem I found, a little pet sin poem. If you could hit the light there, Chris. Just one little sin, what harm can it do? But give it free rein in your life, and soon there are two. And then sinful deeds and habits ensue. So guard well your thoughts, or they'll destroy you. Think about what's good. Renew your mind, the Bible says, right? With what's true and good and praiseworthy and lovely. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed with the renewing of your mind. Bible's clear in Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and then eventually death from that sinful nature. That's his promise. I don't see that on a bumper sticker. I know the plans they have for me. But that's the truth. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit of God. Listen, I want you guys to have a fantastic, godly life. And I'm telling you, or I'll just tell me in the Darren mirror, that sin will kill you. Don't let it kill you. Allow God to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask for or imagine in your life. Ask him to help you. If you can't get out of it, will you talk to me? Will you talk to Gary? Will you ask us for help? And we will help you in Jesus' name. We'll pray over you. We'll help you. We'll walk with you. We'll be accountable, whatever it takes. But get it out of your life. And I'm going to leave you this one last illustration. The Bible says something, Jesus said something on the Sermon on Mount. And I watch a lot of people do this when it comes to sin. Jesus used hyperbole. That just means extreme language. Okay, so this is like to shock, you know, like he said, if your eye causes you to sin, you know what he said? Gouge it out and throw it away. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Now he's not saying we should gouge out our eyes or cut off our hands. Everybody understands this, yes? If we come back and we got a couple pirates, that's not what he means. What he's saying is if there's something that's causing sin in your life, you know, maybe you just can't handle the computer right now. Maybe you can't handle the internet. Maybe you can't handle the Netflix. Maybe you can't handle going to that place. Maybe you can't, I don't know what it is, but cut it off and throw it away. Everybody likes to poke at it, or I'm just going to move the sin from here to here so I can still reach it if I need it. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your heart and get it out of your life. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray, and I'm sorry I kept you long. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would use even these little few verses that we got to today, Lord God, that you would impart something, that you would help each person to take home something with them today in their hearts, in their lives, that they would say no to sin and yes to you so that they would be able to have the fulfilling life that you want to give them, Lord God, the spirit-filled life, Lord God. Lord, I pray for that joy for each and every person. I pray for that freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Your word says so. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give your people freedom, Lord God. Not freedom to sin, but freedom from sin. And I ask that blessing right now on this congregation, on this awesome, wonderful body, in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being patient. Have a great day in Jesus' name.